From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We do have a great show for you. Filmmaker Kevin Smith, maker of Clerks, many other movies will be joining us. But first, we have to right a wrong. The last time Paula Poundstone was on the show, in August, it all came down to the end of the show. We told her that if she got 5 fill-in-the-blank questions right, she'd win the game. And in the end, we announced, oh, too bad, she'd only gotten 4 right. But as many outraged listeners wrote and called to tell us, we were wrong. She had gotten 5 right. Paula, you was robbed.
Oh,
is what I'm saying.
Boy. Now, I don't think this is the only time.
Well, maybe, but look, it doesn't matter. We cannot go back in time and fix things, not until Carl perfects his invention. But we can, Paula, do this. We owe you 1 win. And today, well, I can confidently predict right now that this is going to be a very good day for you, Paul. That's all I'm saying. But first, it's your turn. We promise to count the right answers correctly, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sherry from Greenville, North Carolina.
Sherry, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
What do you do there in beautiful Greenville?
I am a graduate student at East Carolina.
What are you studying?
Archaeology.
Ooh, how cool.
It is really cool.
Did you, I'm guessing you're of a certain age, did you get into archaeology because you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark as a kid? And
I'm ashamed to say yes.
And that's it? And has the bitter disappointment set in yet that you don't actually get to carry a bullwhip and have adventures?
A little.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Sherry. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's Reliable Sources column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Hi.
Do you at least get, like, one of those cool Harrison Ford fedoras thing?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You have to.
Okay.
Next, say hello to comedian Paul Prevenza.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Sherry. How are you?
Good.
I don't know if you saw the prequel to Indiana Jones, where he's sitting around filling out grants for $200.
And lastly, say hello to a comedian who'll be appearing at the Lincoln Theater in Yountville, California on Saturday, September 29th, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Paula.
All right, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you 3 quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain 2 of them, you will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Here's your first quote. It's sort of become quite quickly, almost overnight, the rallying cry for a generation of newly empowered youth.
Don't tase me, bro.
So, who was that?
Was it Andrew Clark, was it?
Oh, you're so close. Could you tell me where he was, what he was doing?
He's a college student in Michigan who was trying to talk to John Kerry.
Good enough. His name was Andrew Meyer.
Andrew Meyer.
Yeah, and he was University of Florida, but that is awfully, awfully close. Other generations had Martin Luther King, Mario Savio, Nelson Mandela, the guy in front of the tank at Tiananmen. But the face of protest we're stuck with is Andrew Meyer. A lunatic provocateur who decided to go mano a mano with that symbol of overwhelming power, John Kerry. Like all revolutionaries, Mr. Meyer had an epiphany about the world. He realized that you can get famous by being a complete jerk face on the internet, so he decided to heckle John Kerry at a speech at the University of Florida. He asked a friend to videotape it. Onlookers cheered as police tried to take him away from the mic where he kept shouting, but he kept shouting and fighting. And then, well, the instrument of oppression was applied. Once people, he got a lot of sympathy, but then once people found out that Mr. Meyer had done this sort of thing before and that he asked the arresting officers if there might be cameras down at the police station for his arrest, a countercry rang out from the people. Tase him again, bro! Well, I have to say, I mean, this obviously, like everybody else in the country, I watched this on videotape.
I didn't.
You didn't?
You just said like everybody else in the country, and I just want to say I don't use a computer like that. I don't watch those little things, and I'm fairly untroubled.
I think it should even...
what's amazing, though, is that good or bad, it just becomes, it just snowballs into some other thing. I guess this is a good time to say I'll be starring in Don't Tase Me, Bro, the musical.
That's good.
Which will be on Broadway. Tasical was the original title. Tasical.
We purposely didn't do our school supply shopping ahead of time because we wanted to find out what's in. And what I feel really good about, I was able to get my kids a set of Don't Tase Me, Bro school supplies. The protractor, the ruler, the backpack, with the image of that fine young man on there.
Right.
And they're actually anxious to go to school now as a result.
I don't know. I sort of had this backlash quality where I just sort of thought that would be a really convenient way to walk through life. Whenever people really sort of annoyed you, you just low levels.
You know, I got to...
Like in the security line at the airport.
You are absolutely perfect to be a police officer, as near as we can tell.
Jerry, for your last two quotes... Well, this week there were two big stories that took us back to those halcyon days of grunge, Yeltsin, Melrose Place, the 1990s. Here is the first one.
I thought what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. Hey, hey.
That was somebody, by the way, with no criminal record, which is what makes this whole thing so surprising, who got in trouble for doing something in Las Vegas that did not, in fact, stay there. Who?
Oh, my gosh, I have no idea.
I mean, I know I'm supposed to be sympathetic to listeners who don't know the answers right away, but you've got to be kidding me.
I'm in grad school. I don't watch the news.
It doesn't matter. I mean, there were skywriters.
You could have passed children playing in a sandbox and would have overheard a discussion about this.
Oh, give her a hint.
All right, you missed this. This is a guy who was arrested in Las Vegas for armed robbery. He broke into a hotel.
Oh, O.J. Simpson.
Thank you, yes. Mr. Simpson's endless obsessive search for his wife's real killers led him to an off-strip hotel in Las Vegas where he allegedly terrorized some memorabilia dealers at gunpoint in the process of getting back what he said was his own stuff. It was an amazingly audacious thing to do, honestly. Some people think they can get away with murder. We want to point out that the little joke that Carl performed was something O.J. said in an interview with the L.A. Times. What he actually did was he finished the interview, then he thought of that great line and called the reporter back to share it with him.
You know, one of the greatest things about that was that amongst the memorabilia that he was seeking back was the suit that he wore at his first trial, and ironically, gets to wear it again.
Yeah, there you are. We said there were two stories that brought us back to the 90s. Well, here's the other one. It shows you how much we love the 90s. We present President Bill Clinton exactly 14 years ago this very week.
When I launched our nation on this journey to reform the health care system, I knew we needed a talented navigator, someone with a vigorous mind, a steady compass, a caring heart. Well, luckily for me and our nation, I didn't have to look very far.
President Clinton could have made that speech again this week because somebody is back with a new health care plan. Who?
Hillary Clinton.
Exactly right. Yes. This week, 14 years after the debacle that became known as Hillary Care, Ms. Clinton rolled out a new plan for health care reform. There are a lot of differences. The primary one, of course, is that this time she's planning on doing it while president, not just first lady. So remember, for example, Harry and Louise, the fictional couple, fictional opponents of her plan invented by the insurance industry? On January 20th, 2009, they get sent to Guantanamo. Carl, how did Sherry do in our quiz?
Very, very well, Peter. Sherry, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, we're excited for you. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.